I do my show on the Heritage Radio Network because I think it's important to talk about the impact of technology on our lives.
I do my show to reach home cooks and help them do better.
Because I love getting together with people in the industry.
I like hosting my show because, to me, it's the stories about people and their relationship to food that help make the food more interesting and more delicious.
Our hosts do their shows as a labor of love, but we still need your financial support in order to keep the lights on and keep the tape rolling. Please become a member today at heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
I'm Mike Lameco from Food Talk. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, 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 welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's August 2nd, 2016. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. Hey, we've got some great guests joining us tonight, including Chief and Sophia from Hudson Valley's newest brewery, Industrial Arts, and also joining us is Will Stevens from Beer Manias. All right, guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, Jimmy. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Cool, man. Beer Sessions Radio is brought to you by Union Beer Distributors, suppliers of world-class ales and lagers. So it's the middle of the summer, and I didn't expect to be here tonight, but I forgot that Jeff O'Neill was coming on August 2nd. So we're here live, and there's some significance to this show. You know, Jeff, I think it was exactly a year ago we had you on with John Siegel. You're kind of talking about your plans.
Yeah.
And some of the great beers you'd made and some of the hops you've used.
You were probably talking about the great beers I made.
We're not going to talk about that.
I think last time I was on, we had just signed the lease and I had just taken possession of the place. And now we're fast forward a year and we're just about ready to open. So
and many people know you as the brewer who made the Ithaca Flower Power. And
sure.
Was at Peekskill and made some great beers there. So we're excited for the new chapter. So cheers, everybody.
Thanks, man. It's great to be here.
But we're going to circle to the side for a minute because you've put together a really great team. And we're going to talk about what it's like opening a new brewery in 2016 in New York State. And I know you have a GM and you have a sales team in place. But so what was it like opening a new brewery in New York State? You know, it's been a year process. And let's talk.
Like every day is a new challenge. Some of them have rewards and some days don't have a lot of direct rewards. But, you know, we found the licensing process to be reasonably straightforward. And I think we have a really fantastic location and we're in, I think, the right place at the right time. And the Hudson Valley in the 21st century, I think, is going to be an important place for food and beer. And we're really looking forward to playing a role in that.
So your team, so Sophia, you're the GM. Tell us about you and your full name and what it's been like working with Jeff.
Sure. My name is Sophia Barbaresco, and I started at Industrial Arts in March. I went to brewing school in Brazil. I graduated in 2013 from a year-long program there, the only brewing school in Latin America, so I'm a trained brewer. But at Industrial Arts, I'm super excited to be the general manager. So there, my day-to-day is mostly taking care of, like, the small details, the nitty-gritty, and making sure that things get done in the proper fashion. And basically making sure that all of the employees are taken care of and creating the culture of the brewery.
That's cool, man.
She's killing it.
We're excited to have her. That's why she came on the show tonight. But you've got an interesting culture, too. So besides you as a brewer, what is that culture? I mean, you've got this cool T-shirt with a logo that depicts these handcrafts.
What we're doing, I think, is really intentional and really purposeful. And that's part of our logo, is the kind of nuts and bolts of the process. It's all the process, sort of from the hop all the way to the glass. And we are using the same visual language around the campus. Like, our brewery site is really this totally unique pre-Civil War factory campus where there are 100 other tenants and a lot of just features and charm that you can't fake. And many of you will understand this much better when once you visit, once we're open. It's very hard to describe in a nutshell the whole the whole thing as a out of context of seeing the place. It's really hard for me to do in just a couple of sentences. But it's
yeah, you feel transported when you're there. Like it almost feels like you're on a movie set or something. Like
truly.
1930s gangster movie or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, and there's this great tension between the state-of-the-art equipment and the technology and the automation that we've put in, and then this sort of, Civil War construction, which has its, you know, its challenges, but I think the aesthetic is really cool and is a big part of our identity as a brand.
So what town are you guys in? Is it Garnerville?
It's called Garnerville, which is a hamlet inside of West Haverstraw.
In Rockland County.
North Rockland County.
And that's near like the Tappan Zee Bridge?
Yeah, it's about 10 miles north of the Tappan Zee Bridge.
Yeah. It's going to be great, man. And you guys are going to open up soon, right?
We're going to open in the next couple weeks, yeah. Yeah. I can't say exactly when yet, but it's going to be really soon. It's imminent. It's really imminent. We're putting the finishing touches on the tasting room and the getting ready to host people there and getting ready to roll out beer into the greater New York market and statewide.
Well, we're looking forward to it. It is one of the more anticipated brewery openings in a while.
It's my most important one.
Yeah. I'm glad you came on the show. We have a lot to talk about. So our other guest, Will Stevens with BeerManias.com. Will, you know, you're aware of many breweries and you know, your site's got everything that we need to know usually. But you must have some questions for Jeff.
Yeah, absolutely. So with Beer Menus, my brother and I, when we started, we kind of jumped in having very little experience in craft beer and learned as we went. And you've kind of, in this current setup, you have a very different experience, having a lot of experience in the craft beer industry before starting the brewery, mm-hmm. having learned quite a bit, having worked in craft beer for many years. What was that like, having worked for other people for a while and then having this be your own project?
Well, I was lucky enough to get to make a lot of mistakes on other people's dime. I mean, frankly, it's a luxury that not everybody gets. And I learned ways that, it's just like anybody with a trade or a skill or an art or whatever. It's a process of refinement.
You remind me of a chef I used to have years ago. I won't say her name. She would smoke weed and she would always order all the most expensive ingredients. And 10 years later, she said, I'm sorry. It took me a while to learn what it was when I own my own business. I don't do those things anymore.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. Like
is that what you're saying?
Well, I have to have a different perspective now as the guy who signs the checks, right? So it's like it's an evolution for anybody, their career, right? So this is how mine has played out, and I wouldn't have it any other way. But I think what's interesting in the context of beer menus is that when I started brewing, there was really no internet. And the way that our industry has grown up alongside of the platforms for public discourse about things is inexorably intertwined. Like it couldn't have happened without the explosion of the internet and the information, sort of.
I mean, that must be
yes,
the case.
Sharing.
That so many breweries now have so many different names of beers and different beers. I mean, you think without the internet, that probably wouldn't happen, right?
Names of beers.
Names of beers. You had Amazeballs, and everybody keeps rolling out all these new names.
Sure.
But without the internet, would you be
Well,
doing
with
that?
The internet, it's easy to cross-check if somebody's used one before, mm-hmm. which is becoming more and more problematic for breweries that are trying to make a lot of different brands. Like, you think of something, and it's really almost always been done before.
Yeah, you think you're super clever for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Did you guys bring beer?
We did bring beer.
We should roll it out. We should be talking about it.
Well, where'd you put that?
So this is Jeff. I was listening to a baseball announcer the other day from Boston. He's like, he'd be like, well, that's Jeff O'Neill. He lives with 3 children in the Hudson Valley.
Four
now. He's putting them out. Where do you live, Jeff?
In the Hudson Valley.
Hudson Valley. You don't want to encourage the stalkers. What is it like? I mean, you're a fairly well-known brewer. I mean, do you have stalkers? Do you have people that go online trying to get photos with you? And
I guess. Yeah. I guess. Like, it's part of the culture around it now. Like, I've likened it to, and this is like, forgive me if I'm pumping myself up too much, but I likened it to one of my neighbors the other day as saying, like, it's sort of like being a celebrity chef, that people are interested in what you're doing next glasses. And what you've done before and what your basis for your work is. And, like, it's an interesting, like, there's no way without, for instance, the internet, that anybody would know who the hell I was, right? I'd be toiling in anonymity and whatever else. So, I mean, I think I'm lucky to have found a niche here, and that people, you know, seem to appreciate.
And people like your beer.
What I've done so far. Yeah, I mean, that's what it comes down to. Like, it doesn't... If the beer's no good, then nothing comes.
We don't have any glasses. We're just going to chug. So what, you guys have a crowler machine at the brewery?
Yeah, we have a crowler.
Is that a crowler?
That's a crowler, yeah. And we're going to do these and also 16-ounce cans of our beers.
So you think that... Well, first, Sophia, so what... You know, I'm sure a big attraction for you in this project was working with Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the celeb factor, I feel like I've definitely gotten some of that stardust rubbing off on me, like... some events that I go to, and once I introduce myself and say where I work from, people who previously were like, whatever, you're a girl, you probably don't know much about beer. As soon as I say what I do and where I work, like, their attitude basically flips 180, and all of a sudden, you know, people are, like, actually impressed and interested in where I am, so... I feel pretty lucky about that.
And you worked at another brewery before, right?
Brewery in Westchester. And I was the production manager there. But it's really exciting to see, like, how the whole scene in the Hudson Valley is growing and evolving in such a short time. And how the beers are getting more recognition.
Well, this is the first time I've had a beer from Industrial Arts.
Yeah. Cheers, man.
So cheers to Jeff and... if you don't have a glass, not everybody does. You got to share. But what's the beer, man?
This is our flagship beer. It's called Tools of the Trade, and it's we're calling it an extra pale ale. It's a straightforward single malt hoppy pale ale. It's under 5% alcohol, and we're hoping that this is the one that kind of leads the way for us.
So how do you do that? I mean, you've made a lot of different IPAs and other beers. How are you determining that this is going to be a flagship beer?
I just kind of trust our taste in what we're doing. And, you know, I feel like the normal evolution for a craft beer drinker is usually bigger, assertive beers are the first thing that really differentiates what's going on in small brewing versus big brewing. And people kind of latch on to big, really flavorful, like loud beers for some amount of time. And then you settle into a groove and you really appreciate the quality of a beer, and it's not necessarily whether you're getting the most alcohol out of something, but more like flavor driven stuff. And so far, using our collective palates as a jumping off point, we've been pretty good, and we've gotten some really great feedback on this beer.
It's nice. What do you think? Well, it's kind of like a little grassy.
Will doesn't have it yet.
I don't have it.
This is actually beer.
You might not.
We filled this from fermenter this morning. So this beer is about a week away from being mature. We would call this green beer in the brewery. So you'll see it's still a little hazy. And it's got another week of conditioning to go, and then it'll be ready to go.
And then who else? I know you have a great team. You've got Sophia.
Yeah.
Who else in your team would be weighing in? We'll talk about your other guys, like sales guys, but who else in your team is weighing in on, like, you know, should this be your flagship?
So I was lucky enough to really recruit the three core people that I wanted at the outset of this, and it's Sophia, and actually the first guy to join our staff is our brewmaster. His name is Mike McManus. He was at Omegang for almost 10 years before this, and if you guys have noticed that Omegang has turned out some new and interesting beers outside of their core lineup in the last couple of years, it's because of him. Like, he did all of their R&D brewing for the last couple of years and is a guy I've known for a long time and a guy that I really trust to really manage the day-to-day operations of the brewery. It's something that I have a hard time letting go of, for sure. And there's only so many people that can maybe stand up to me about things. But as I was saying to Sophia on the train ride in earlier, he's really kind of kept me honest about the things we need to do to make sure that the beer is the highest quality that it can possibly be, because everything falls behind that in the end. Like, if the beer isn't what we're setting out for it to be, then it's just not going to work in the end. So he's one of the, you know, cornerstones of our business. And then, as you mentioned earlier, we also have a great sales director who's been working in and around New York City and New Jersey for a decade as well. And his name's Ken Erdogan. And he and Mike worked together at Omegang and Duval USA for a number of years.
We know Ken, Ken from Duval USA, Omegang.
Yeah, so Ken came on board in April, at the beginning of April, and he's been laying out our sales and distribution plan and doing a lot of the legwork in the city and with our potential supplier partners.
Wow.
So we're really, I mean, I'm really lucky to have brought these three people on board and hope to have them around for a good long time.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a short break. Back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio.
In 1996, L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, we got Jeff Chief from Industrial Arts on board. Congratulations, dude.
No, I'll keep, so you'll keep wishing me luck because they're not open yet, but,
I know,
but we're very close.
But you've been through a lot, and Will was asking you about the beer that we're tasting.
Mm-hmm.
A couple questions.
Yeah, so this is Tools of the Trade.
Tools of the Trade, yeah.
And that's the flagship?
Yep.
Very exciting. So what
I mean, we're going to let you guys decide what's the flagship in the end, but we think it will be this.
Yeah, this is delicious. Smells amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, what are the stats on this?
So this is a beer that features a hop called Simcoe, which this year I happened to select a lot that was grown in Oregon for the first time, and it was really like a great, loud, clean specimen, for lack of a better word. And so we're keeping this beer really kind of simple. Like it's straightforward. Like I mentioned earlier, single malt, it's low gravity. And it's really meant to be a drinking beer.
Yeah, that's really nice. So you were saying, when you start a brewery for the first time, you obviously have to get used to the new system. What does that sort of process look like in terms of sort of dialing it in?
It's, so we built had a brew house built for us in Germany by one of the industry leaders in technology and automation. So putting that online was a whole new experience for me. I mean, obviously the other breweries I've worked at have been smaller and have been, you know, more in a maybe more budget minded. We really designed this whole thing to be scalable so that it, you know, I'd like to imagine that it's going to be a pretty successful and robust business in the end. So we have quite a lot of space at our brewery to grow into. And we have this brew house that we think can turn out quite a lot of high quality and consistent beer, but getting it online, like I say, has been a new experience for me for sure. And the automation is, as great as it is, it, you know, when you hit a wall with it, it's a 5-hour difference between here and Germany, and we don't always have access to the people that we need to troubleshoot. So that's something that we are learning how to manage and head off at the pass. We've made about 10 worts now, and we have our second full size fermentation tank going right now, so we're really still refining the recipes. And like I say, I think we're really close. So like, I'm really happy with where this beer is today, and we're going to be rolling it out for real in a couple of weeks.
That's really great, man.
Yeah, cheers, man.
Yeah.
Look forward to having it in the city. And that's a whole other process. Let's go back and do the timeline. So a year ago, you were here talking about the brewery.
Yeah.
So, like, what were some of the – so you hired a sales director in April. So let's go back a year ago. What were you working on then? You know, the different steps along the way to opening this new brewery.
So I had literally just signed the lease 1 year ago. And then I got into design phase with an architect, a friend and neighbor of mine. And then we kind of got started on the permitting process once we had a design in hand. And it took some time to get through that process with the local municipality, to get through all of the life safety issues and requirements for opening a retail business in a light industrial zone. Like, there's a lot of ins and outs with the zoning. But we started construction in earnest. I think it took us until the middle of December before construction had really started, and we've been going pretty hard since then. It really ramped up fully by the end of January. The brew house showed up on February 2nd, and we've been kind of putting it online ever since February 2nd. So it's been 6 months of the brew house being in place, and we're just now, I think, getting to a comfort level with it where we feel like we're ready.
So you said you brought in a sales manager yep. early on.
Well, he didn't start until April.
Yeah, but so that's still kind of early. I mean,
yeah,
for those of us that don't know about
it. You know, it's funny. The timing seems to have worked out really well, for better or worse. Like, we're a few months behind where I originally had thought, but I don't necessarily, and Sophia maybe will correct me on this, I don't know how much of it we really could have accomplished any faster. Certainly, we couldn't have done better by going faster. So I think we've really kept a lot of the critical points in focus and not let it run away from us.
Sophia, at what point did you come on?
I started on March 1st. Yeah, it seems like every time that we've had some kind of timing setback, it's actually worked out to our advantage.
Yeah,
that
we've been able to make everything
yeah,
or at least you spin it that way.
Better than No, it seems like we've been able to make everything better than we had even originally intended. So it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because the brew hall where our tap tasting room will be, it's just a phenomenally beautiful room, and it's greater than the sum of its parts in a way that I didn't expect. And again, it's hard to really do it justice without you seeing it, but it's as nice of a room as you're going to see in a brewery, I think.
Yeah, and what's exciting about the space that Jeff touched on is that it's the first space in the complex that is for retail, so we had to have all of those hurdles of, like, going to the village board meetings and going through that whole process, which was pretty exciting.
It's eye-opening. I mean, you learn a lot about local government this way. It's amazing.
Yeah, but everybody's been super supportive of the whole process, and that's really encouraging to see. And it's really great, like, when somebody comes and visits the site. And no matter who you are, like, if you are just a casual drinker or if you're a super beer nerd, everybody's blown away, because there's something for everybody there. It's just really, it's really great to see.
I'm looking forward to going up.
I can't wait to have you up there.
So you'll be in the city soon selling beer?
Yeah, in the next few weeks.
And are people already asking you for orders?
Yeah. For sure.
I want to get on the list.
Yeah, let's get you on the list.
I bet you'd be with Ann at Taproom 307.
Yeah, I think Ken called on her last week. And since you mentioned the Blind Tiger, I think I'm ready to say that we're going to launch at the Blind Tiger on Thursday, August 18th for lunch.
Wow. That's good to know.
We're going to have this beer on draft. We're going to do our world premiere launch.
And this
is our first public mention of that. Yes, so now it's out there, so I guess it's real.
Well, what do you think about that, Will?
That's exciting.
So call in sick, quit your job, cut your hair.
And some of us have jobs that we can go to lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome news. Yeah, congratulations. Man. I need like a clapping from David over there. Be like, yeah, woo. So a world announcement on the air.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I confirmed it with Catherine just this afternoon.
Well, those are the kind of things we want to hear about. And I know that to us, again, this is the most anticipated opening in a long time.
Thanks, man.
But also on that note, I mean, there are a lot of breweries that have opened.
Oh, man. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of friends, like a lot of our friends.
Are there others that you'd like to mention that you feel like are going to do well and that you're looking forward to trying their beer?
Oh, for sure. Like, I think it's great that Suarez and Jesse's opening Interboro, like, all practically simultaneous with us. And these are guys that I, you know, feel like are my peers and, you know, are doing something, you know, legitimate. It's different from what we're doing, but there's space, I think, for all of us to kind of riff on our own thing and to be, in the end, like, kind of a cohesive, like, the New York brewing community has come a million miles in the, almost 15 years that I've been involved in it. It's really, you know, it seemed very, very, like, almost glacially slow at times. Like, I came from brewing in the Bay Area before this, where there was already a very, I think we touched on this last year, a very, like, real beer
Drake's
culture. Yeah,
Drake's
very, like, real, here. Like, really, really tangible culture. And to see it happen here and to have been part of it is, like, super gratifying.
It is exciting. I mean, you mentioned those guys. I mean, it is like a new heyday because Jesse Ferguson was part of Carton when they started, mm-hmm. and helped grow that as a brewer. Now he's doing a whole new brewery with a distillery, too. And,
yeah.
and Dan Suarez, too, went from Six Point to Hill Farmstead and helped that grow, and he was there for 4 years. So suddenly it's like you and Interboro and Suarez.
Yeah, it's really great, and I'm sure there are...
And that's just three of them. I'm sure there's others.
Just three of them of dozens, literally dozens, and probably amazing breweries that we haven't even heard of yet are opening right around us. And
yeah, we were talking about some of the beers of summer. You know, Justin wrote, it was Brooklyn Magazine with Nico Cremitas. People were picking the beers of summer, and already Suarez was on like two of them.
Oh, that's great.
They have the Hecto...
Is this the list you were showing me earlier?
Yeah, I was actually just reading that this afternoon, and I thought it was really cool that, like, 90% of the breweries mentioned were from New York City and the Hudson Valley. And I feel like 3 years ago that wouldn't have been the case.
Yeah, and we went up the Hudson Valley. I mean, we've had on the guys from Plan B, From the Ground, the new one opened, Hudson Valley in the
Pekin. Of course. I'm remiss not mentioning Hudson Valley.
Yeah.
John Anthony is a really good friend, and I think they're going to have something really cool, a great site to visit, and that they'll be doing their own, like, their whole own unique thing. And we visited them a couple of months ago, and there's some parallels.
You know, in your plans, I mean, are people visiting the brewery? Is that going to be a big component of your business?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I hope that I expect that it will be a destination. Like you were, like, she used the word transported. It really is like a totally different setting than what you'd be used to. And we're banking on people coming from all over, and spending the afternoon with us and really getting a sense of what we're doing.
Yeah. I think you really understand what we're really all about when you visit the site. And I feel like almost every day that I'm there, I learn something new about another component of the brew house and what the site has to offer. And just the artist community around the site is also really cool. Like, there are about 100 different artists that there's always something new to learn.
So, like, what? Fine arts, graphic arts,
all kinds,
people.
I mean, really all kinds of stuff.
At one point, there was the premier magician's accessory builder.
Yeah.
It's so like he would build, like, the box that the woman would be cut in half with. He was the one who built the boxes,
built
so he had the studio
the
there.
The guillotine and the knives through or the swords through the box. Like he builds all that. The shop is still there. It's above our warehouse.
Are you guys going to do anything with your neighbors in the building? Any events?
Yeah, we're certainly going to do a lot of collaborative stuff. There's an art center that kind of exists inside of the complex, and they're building a new art center there. And we hope to really have a long and famous cooperative relationship with them.
Great.
I like that. Tell me one more time. The box that the woman gets cut in half in.
So last year there was a...
That's fine arts. I like that.
Yeah, every May they have an arts fest, which we got to go to this year, which was really cool. You get to see all of the different studios and stuff. And apparently last year our landlord was cut in half. which I wish I'd been able to see.
There's tricks of the trade. I've never learned them. Have you, Will? It's like mirrors and things like that. Yeah. Can't talk about that.
But anyway, there are, you know, painters and cabinet makers and graphic artists and photographers and our electrician is there. You know, like, you name it, and there's somebody there doing it.
Wow, man. Cheers to you guys.
It's a really, just a totally unique location.
Yeah, and we're excited that now that we have the retail space license for the complex, that other commercial spaces are going to open up too and really build a community in that area, which has been a little underdeveloped to this point.
And then before we take a break, when is your kind of semi-official launch in New York City again? Thursday. August
18th. At the Blind Tiger.
Lunchtime
at the Blind Tiger.
All right, you heard that first here. All right.
Yeah, and then you'll, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, you'll see the beer around town on the regular after that.
Hopefully we get some at Jimmy's number 43. All right,
let's see what we can do.
All right, we'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right, woo! Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio. And Jeff's telling dirty stories and everyone's laughing. And Justin, don't leave. Come on. We're going to taste this beer and talk about it until everyone gets this brand in their head. So what's the name of your new beer that we're tasting right now?
Tools of the Trade. Yeah, and that name is significant in like sort of paying respect to the zillions of little details that you need to make a good, consistent, clean beer.
And this is going to be the beer you launch with?
Yeah, this is going to be the one that you'll see around town first, and this is meant to be our flagship. And then we're also going to be making a rotating IPA that'll change regularly called State of the Art, and that's a play on the investment we've made in the automation and technology and sort of like the intent is to stay out on the edge of hoppy beers.
No, and everyone, listeners, if you don't know, you know, Jeff O'Neill, you know, one of our top brewers in New York, has won awards, did the Ithaca Flower Power beer, some great beers at Peekskill. But so that's why we're here talking about the anticipation of the opening. But on that other note, it's like, you know, I don't think we realize all the pitfalls that you're up against, whether you're starting a new business of any sort, but business that involves manufacturing, federal, state, and, you know, local licensing and permits. So I'm always proud to see that guys like you when they're able to raise capital, put together a team.
Yeah.
And, you know, do you have anyone else behind you? Is there, like, some big advisor or,
you know,
guys?
We have a pretty big group of investors that's a mix of friends and family and some guys who I've got to know through this project who have sort of become friends and family. But it's, you know, nobody – I'm the manager of the LLC and – you know, I make the day-to-day decisions, and we have board meetings every once in a while. But everybody, I think, kind of sees and buys into the vision, and, you know, it's right at that tipping point where we're about to actually open. So I think everybody's kind of comfortable with where we're at today, that we've mostly pulled it off. And getting those last couple of pieces of licensing from the federal and state government were sort of those watershed moments where you finally feel like it's inevitable, like nothing can stop us now. And we're right at that point.
And we're drinking beer.
Beer that we made in our brewery legally. Yeah.
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 So, Jeff, it's like you talked about building a culture. You know, you have your GM here. What is the culture? I mean, like, jokingly, it's like Lagunitas has, like,
sure,
Ron the Beer Weasel. I mean, are you going to make up weird names for jobs?
No, I don't think that's our mission. Like I said, like, these three individuals that we brought in are, you know, the heads of their departments. They're meant, you know, I expect them to be our you know, pillars of our culture. And, you know, it's a collaborative effort. And when in doubt, we refer back to, you know, the beer. And it's about the beer at the end of the day. And it's about repeatability and hospitality, I think, is going to be a big part of our place. And just making people feel like part of our bigger community, I think, is really what we're
trying
to do.
Sophia, then, do you have an office, or you guys have like a bullpen office like Mike Bloomberg?
We have an amazing
office. Y'all in the same office?
Yeah, go ahead.
That's part of the culture.
Our office is amazing.
Do people have to like make appointments to see you?
You do.
I do. Yes, I did.
So like 3 months. Office.
Took me 3 months to get this show, Justin. Come on. And he actually reminded us
our
just last
week.
Our office
has a lot of interesting history. It was a karate dojo, and after that it was a cheerleading studio.
Yeah.
And at one point it had a koi pond, an illegal koi pond in it. And a snake that got burned in a tragic accident.
And they have magicians, people cutting people out.
Tell me more.
Wow, this is that dark and dirty little part of New York that no one ever goes to. But you're going to start going.
That no one used to go
to. That's right. Yeah.
So the office space is really big and it's beautiful. We have a ping pong table and a picnic table right in the middle where we have our meetings.
Yeah, we spend
and
a lot of time together
loft.
at a picnic table. Yeah.
Up on top, and that's where we kind of
like your sales manager is sales manager. He's not like fungo hitter or something. Whatever. You don't even have a culture, man.
You're looking at our culture, dude.
It's about good beer. It's
about good beer and good people, and everything else will fall in line behind that, I think. And that's the.
So you never played Ultimate Frisbee or anything?
I did play Ultimate Frisbee, yeah.
So what position would you play?
Well, I was a hippie. I don't remember it that well. Are there positions in Ultimate Frisbee? I don't think there are positions in Ultimate Frisbee.
Justin, come on. Tell us. I don't know. There's got to be a position. But all right, we'll figure that out. But you're going to have some fun naming the names of your jobs and everything.
Sure.
Yeah, like brewer.
Well, I think one thing that's kind of cool is our logo has seven icons inside hexagons. And when you make up your business card, you pick an icon that kind of represents who you are and what your position is. So, for example, I picked the tri-clamp because the tri-clamp is like what holds shit together in the brewery. So, and that to me kind of exemplified what my position was. And so everybody, when they make their business card, they pick an icon. So that's kind of
talk us through. So I've been noticing that. So there's your logo is really, and you can go to your website. What's the website?
industrialartsbrewing.com.
And you can see the logo and everything, but just talk us through what those little icons are.
Me or her.
There's like a hop? Go for it. You tell us.
So it starts with a hop. I think that's our primary focus with our beers, is that we'll be mostly making hoppy beers. But you see as you go across that then we represent our mill, in particular that it's a four-roller mill, which gives us a lot of control over the grist composition. And then these are actually from the drawings, from many of the technical drawings. Then the brew house, which is the heart of our operation. Followed by a tri-clamp, I think is the next one. I'm not going to look. And the tri-clamp is, again, it's like it's a brewer's tool. It's kind of an inside joke, like you almost wouldn't know what it is. But you'll get it when you see our tap handles. We've actually incorporated this into the design of our tap handles. And then from there we go to, we introduce the microorganism that turns our wort into beer. And that's yeast, which we signify with a microscope. Fermentation is the next thing, and then finally a glass of beer, which is what we're all hoping for at the end of the day, I think.
Well, that's great, man. So again, industrialartsbrewing.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can check it out,
and you can follow our Facebook and Instagrams,
yeah,
if you like.
It will.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is that a Nunik glass?
It is. Yep, that's right. It's a real comfortable glass to hold in your hand, and it's a shapely glass. Yeah,
and that's awesome. What we're gonna have it. In our tasting room at the brewery.
So you won't have, like, standard shaker pints.
I'm not a fan of that glass, no.
Yeah. What other glasses do you like? So this is what is this glass again?
This is called a nonic or a nonic glass. It's an English style pint glass. So this is our house pint, and then we have a smaller half pint that's the same shape, and it's got, you know, the flared edge, which gives it a bowl to kind of focus some of the aroma from the
the
beer.
It's a thinner glass too.
It's a thinner glass, but even more importantly, it's got some shape to help focus the aroma notes coming out.
And then in the tap room, you're going to have special beers that aren't distributed?
Yeah, so we're going to focus on the two beers, Tools of the Trade and State of the Art, and then we'll have seasonal and one-off beers, which should change up, you know, monthly kind of thing, that will be available in our tasting room and at probably our best retail partner accounts. And we're really going to focus on just the two in main distribution, and like I said, we'll be statewide before you know it. But we'll have probably 4 to 6 beers in the tasting room at any time. And anytime we do an event, we're hoping to have that many once we get.
When you actually get the tasting room open, I know you're going to first be at Blind Tiger on August 18th. When the tasting room's open, please let us know.
Oh, absolutely.
We're going to come. We'll come in and break it in.
We will not keep it a secret. I promise.
Yeah, and Will, want to ask one question before we wrap it up?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of my favorite package types for beer is pint cans.
Yeah.
You're doing them?
We are.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it'll be it'll drag behind a little bit on the draft offerings. We really want to get the beers totally dialed in before we go out and put them out there without really knowing how they're going to hold up. We're going to do a lot of studies on stability and shelf life. We really want to put something out there that's
great,
that's going to hold up for a few months in the market. But we own a canning line that we're going to put online most likely in September or October.
And so the beer that we had today is in a crowler. Are you going to do that also?
We will fill crowlers every day in our tasting room that we're open. And we'll fill growlers, but I don't think we're going to sell them. And we'll do beers by the pint and half pint, yeah. And
what do you mean you fill them, but you won't sell them?
I think we're gonna focus on the crowler as our to-go package. If you bring a growler from another brewery, we'll be glad to fill that for you. But I think we probably won't offer that for sale from us on the regular. Maybe on occasion, but we're going to focus on the crowler. People seem to really like these, and it's I think a better size for one or two people.
And then for the license that you guys have in the tap room, is it called the tap room? Is it the tasting room?
You know, we were just talking about this morning. What is it called? I'm calling it a brew hall.
It's a proper brewery.
I mean, it is a gorgeous, it's a cathedral. And I couldn't be more proud of the work that we've put into it and the way that it has finished. I mean, your mind is going to be blown when you see this place. Like, I really, truly believe
that. I go to a brew hall.
That's not overselling it.
There's a lot of attention to detail built into almost everything that we're doing, and we're really trying to play that up and make it clear how intentional what we're doing is.
Yeah, I think one thing that comes up over and over again in all aspects of the brewery is how layered everything is. So, like, the logo has a lot of layers to it. The beer has a lot of layers to it. The brewing process has a lot of layers to it. And it just seems to kind of reflect what our whole philosophy is.
That's great. We have a listener, Sean McNulty, who emailed us, and he's sitting in the show. If you're a listener, you can email us, jimmypotsandpans@gmail.com. Well, you can come on the show. But it's Sean McNulty. Sean, thanks for coming on the show. And I bet you have. He's been sitting there nodding along, and he's a beer fan. But does you have a question for Jeff?
Well, one quick one: how big is this beer hall or brewery hall? What size?
How big is
about?
The room or the or the brew house?
Big brew house, I should say. Yeah.
The brew house is a 25 hectoliter 4-vessel system. Okay. So we're actually on Thursday. We're going to try to knock out 3 lengths in a day for the first time, which we should be able to do in about 14 to 16 hours.
That'll be fun.
And it's really like, we're figuring out how we're going to do that, how we're going to staff it, especially while we have this skeleton crew going on. But the room itself is about 4,000 square feet.
Wow.
And it's a really just...
It's like Oktoberfest.
That's a good time of year to open.
And again, I should stress, that's just the public part of it. And behind that, we have about 20,000 more square feet of production warehouse, office space. So we're really hoping to have a significant impact on the New York beer scene.
Well, And Sean, thanks for writing in. So what do you do for a living, man?
I just wrapped a career at HBO producing, so I'm on the TV producing side. So fan of the production here. It's been a lot of fun to listen in.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. All right. And now, Will, last question. So, you know, I think you've already got me sold, Jeff.
All right.
I am.
You're easy.
I'm finishing off your second Crowler. I am easy. I like that. Certain kind of beers. But once again, tell us, what is this? What style of beer is this?
This is an extra pale ale. And I think this is kind of the evolution of where low gravity American style beers are headed. Bright and focused, hoppy, but not overly bitter. Relatively simple. You can pick out a lot of the different components there. But I hope that what's going to come through in our beers is the process and the attention to detail.
Sophia, I bet you have a question for Jeff. You've been in the beer world for a while. You're a consumer. You know, what would you want to ask Jeff about this beer?
When can I get some?
can I ask
August
a question?
18th.
Sure.
Sounds good to me.
I'm sure a lot of people listening would love to know kind of what the breadth of your portfolio is going to look like. What else you're going to be brewing?
Well, I think, you know, the sky's the limit. Like I mentioned, Mike McManus is a really, like, he's a gifted brewer, and he's been doing this kind of innovation brewing for a while, and, you know, we want to give him some runway to play with some stuff that he wants to do. He and I talk about brewing a pils all the time. I don't know if it's going to happen before next spring, but I think we will have a couple of lagers for sure in the next year. We're going to make a coffee porter coming up for Hudson Valley Beer Week. We're going to collaborate with a local coffee roaster. We're going to focus on these hoppy style beers, and particularly the two I mentioned, but there's no real limit to what we can do with our facility, and you know, we're going to see where this takes us, because we don't really know. I couldn't have guessed that it would be to here at this point. So Who knows what the future holds? But I think we're capable of doing almost anything we want to, and you know, we'll see what inspires us and what keeps us kind of rolling as
Jeff,
and inspired.
Yeah. You got me, man. You put me on the road to ruin tonight. I'm gonna keep drinking this beer until I can't stop. But hey, special guest tonight, thanks for coming on. This is a really special show. It's midsummer a year ago. We were talking about your brewery, and now we're drinking your beer.
Yeah,
so
it's almost amazing. A real thing that hopefully some of your listeners will deign to visit.
Yeah. So Jeff Chief O'Neill, Industrial Arts Brewing, Sophia Barbaresco, Industrial Arts Brewing, Will Stevens, Beer Menus, and our listener, Sean McNulty, thanks for coming on tonight. And we've got some special events coming up. Check out pigisland.com, our annual event with New York State pigs and beer and whiskeys and craft and everything. And we're going to go up to the Copenhagen Beer Celebration. Whoa. September 23rd and 24th in Boston. Those crazy guys, McKellar and crew, are bringing their act to the States. So that's pretty cool. I bet you'll be there, Jeff.
I think we're going to be knee-deep in our own thing. We're pretty much...
Yeah. But maybe we'll end up in Garnersville instead, you know?
I hope to see you there soon.
No, I'm really looking forward. And please let us know when you're opening. I think we would love to make a trip up there and be there for opening.
Can't wait to have you there.
In closing, I'd like to thank our sponsors at Union Beer Distributors who have helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Thanks to Chief, Sophia, and Will for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producer, Justin Kennedy, and our engineer, David Tadashore. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Woo!
Thanks for having us, Jimmy.
Frisbee, baby!
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.